Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. This is Humble and Hungry, and I'm your friend, Natalie Pouchet. Welcome back, everyone. I have a very special guest today, someone that I have been teasing about coming on the show for quite a while because she was my first guest on the show. And it's my beautiful mother, Connie Pouchet. Hello,
my love. I hope I'm not the last one. I was the first one. And I hope I hope not.
No, my God, I hope not. No, I hope to continue to podcast for a while.
I know.
Not going to lie, I always have. although I always have these moments of, should I still podcast? Like, am I good enough? Like, there are so many shows out there. And, you know, you start to get in your head about, like, you know, do people even want to hear what I have to say anymore? You know, like, you start to get in your head
about, forget about just podcasting.
But if I can give you my personal advice,
first, let me say hi to all your beautiful audience, the very loyal audience that you have, because I appreciate, even if it's just one person that's there. I'm going to tell you a little story very fast. But I remember, you know, when you buy advertising on the radio and you know that, you're spending your money and you want to make sure that it works. But the moment that you start receiving phone calls, or now with this technology, you receive text and all of this information about the comments of your people, the followers. The fact that there is a handful of people listening to you, I felt obligated to continue buying that advertising. And you know what? I never regret that, because the moment that I continue and I continued and I continued, it just turned into a, you know, a really beautiful show where people that are listening to you, Natalie, you can rest assured that these people have a huge heart and that they love you. And that's a great feeling to have. Right. And that's what I have.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because you've been doing radio for what, like over 10 years?
It's going to be 13 years this year.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Right? It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said about when you do get those messages, you feel like, okay, I'm touching someone's life, right? Like, I am making a difference. And then I think there's something to be said about just continuing to do what you love, even through the hard times and even through, you know, the moments where you feel like you start to get in your head on about whether or not, you know, you're even good at what you're doing. Is this worth it? There was a something that my friend literally just posted, and I loved this. And it was from a book from Russell Brunson. And it says, there will always be people in the world who are more advanced than you are, but that's fine. You can learn from them, but don't let it stop you from helping the ones who are a chapter or two behind
Absolutely.
You. So it's sort of this, right? So it's this idea of like, okay, you may not be like the smartest one or the best one at whatever you're doing, but there are people that are trying to get to even where you are.
Exactly.
Right? And so it's like, and it's remembering that like, okay, yeah, you know what? People would die to have a podcast that's already running and already, or have a radio talk show or whatever. Like, and I think that, and whether or not that's wherever you are in your life, people would probably die to be wherever you are right now. And I think it's just a really good reminder, and it sort of like humbles you again to be like, okay, I am where I'm supposed to be. And and if anything, you gotta take it as like, I can't wait. And I want to learn from the people that are, you know, in front of me, you know.
And just remember, there's audience for everyone. And we cannot, you know, we cannot expect that everybody has to like, you know, this particular podcast or that podcast. People can hear politics. Others, they cannot hear, you know, arguments or crime, fighting. Some of them enjoy just shows that are, you know, like this one, for example, like
yeah, comedy, like comedy or, shows or whatever, or lighthearted
real life,
shows,
real life podcasts, you know, where people are expressing like reality yeah. show. You know, this is who we are, and this is what we're expressing. That's it. Down.
Totally. It's funny. I just did Patreon, and I talked about the everything that yes. happened with Riley. Because, you know, I'm an open book. I yes. talk about everything. And the only reason why I'm not doing it on the like the public forum is because, you know, sometimes, you know, like when you have a fight with your husband or something or your wife, and then you tell your best friend, and the best friend starts to like not like the husband. Or like, you know, you tell your mom something about your husband and then the mom stops liking your husband. It's almost like that, like where you don't want to like overshare because you don't want them to like have a different viewpoint of them. And so like you only tell the people that like you really love because you know that they're not going to judge you. Not that you guys are going to judge me, but sometimes like I don't want to make things too public. And so Patreon allows me to sort of still make it very, very intimate and like have discussions that honestly I probably would only tell my mom and my sisters. And so that's why I keep it to Patreon. But I do share, I mean, everything on this, you know, the public platform. But anyways, so I told... So I told the whole story on what happened with the Riley thing. But just to give you guys a little information, him and I sort of got into an argument over something that he thought was not a big deal. I thought it was a big deal. And it's really about having these conversations about boundaries in relationships, right? Like what's cheat, like not that it was about cheating, but like what's cheating to you versus what's cheating to me? Or, you know, where do we draw the line on finances? Or, you know, like any of like those very serious conversations that like maybe until it happens in the relationship that you don't have to, like, you don't bring it up.
Right.
Right. But I think it's interesting that I was talking to you three. I always tell you three everything, but you guys all had different responses to that situation.
Well, the responses I think they come based on your personal experiences.
Experience.
In age, you know, age means a lot. Like right. Jessica, the things that my daughter used to say, you know, way before when she was starting her marriage, and then things that have happened right now, and now she's like, Mom, I can totally, you know, agree with the things that you now say. Really? Yeah, relate. And you know, sometimes you just need to let them grow, experience it, and that's why, I mean, my opinion with what happened to you is like, oh, come on. Even though I'm a very, you know, insecure and jealous person, but knowing now what I wish I would have known back then, that's why I wrote that song. That's why I think I wrote that song. And I think it was in a very humorous way. But I thought, you know, a little bit of cheating should be allowed. It took me 30 years to find that out. So anyway, right. I thought it was just going to be something like really funny. But at the same time, like, don't let small things ruin something so beautiful that you guys have.
Totally. Oh, 1,000%. And we had such a beautiful conversation last night, which I haven't even told you about. But we like really dived into like, I think more root causes of like what was bothering me, like at my core. And it's funny, I was talking to Jackie and Jackie was like, first of all, you need therapy to really like get to the root cause of why you feel this way
right.
over things that maybe shouldn't be an issue. But we had a really good conversation, and like I was getting down to like the very, very vulnerable things that like I was thinking that I would probably never tell him, and I told him, like, that I was scared to get pregnant because I thought, you know, what if you don't find me attractive? And like, what if you like all of a sudden now have a wandering eye because now you don't like those really hideous thoughts that you have that like you shouldn't have. I was like able to get it off my chest. And he was able to reassure me that like, that would never happen. But then it also trickled into other conversations on like, you know, what's happened in the past between him and I, and like how with like the first pregnancy. And he was like, you have to remember, he goes, you were really, you were going through a lot
of course.
In that first pregnancy.
And we all know that.
Like
yes.
you were
yes.
miserable. Yeah. He's like, you were miserable. He goes, and honestly, you weren't very fun to be around. He goes, it was really hard to be around you.
It was fun to get you pregnant. It was just fun to get you pregnant. That's
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, but it's interesting. This is just the beginning of our relationship. I mean, we're only, 5 years in?
Right. And those are your insecurities, Natalie. But can you imagine if he had the same ones? Like, is this really the woman that I want to have a second child with? Am I going to be a good father? Will I be there? All these insecurities that you both have, I mean, they're acceptable. I mean, it can happen. But I think that at one point, you must just grow a little mature and say, you know what? If the bird or the dove is still here, it's because I must be giving this bird what this bird wants. You know, that's why he's there. That's why he comes to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Because is that like a Spanish saying, right? Or like if it flies away, cuando if it comes back to you?
Cuando el pájaro vuela es porque ya no quiere estar en el nido. Pero if the dove is still in the nest, that's because he keeps coming for more. That means that you're giving him what he wants, what he likes. What he loves. So let's don't end the day.
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it, my love, because there's going to be a day. Even if you give him the best, you know, golden, you know, food, whatever you want to give love, and they say no anymore, then worry. Then worry. It's all over. Mm-hmm. Same thing with men.
Yeah.
Men need to know.
Yeah, because you guys all came over. You guys all came over on Sunday, and we talked about what had happened. Yeah. And during that conversation, my mom said, you know, it was sort of like a double thing. Cause she was saying, you know, like just, the day that she's not jealous and the day that she doesn't care about what you're doing, then you should be worried. Mm-hmm. Like to Riley, she was saying like the day that she's like, isn't giving you shit for something is the day you should probably get worried, and vice versa. The day that, wait, what? What's the opposite of that? So if I'm not giving a shit, the day he doesn't give a shit, right? About what I'm doing or whatever, like then we should be worried.
What I saw, he got nervous. He got nervous, and you could see his face. Yeah. You know, he's pretty white. He got red, like a shrimp.
Yeah.
But then I could tell that that's a good sign. When someone gets like nervous, and then he went there to you. Because there's time when people are going, oh, she's crazy, nothing happened. Because you know that they're probably, you know, doing something that is not right. But when we knew that he was worried, and then he kept texting you, and we could tell the pattern of the text that came later, we could tell that man, and I told you, that man is in love with you. And I'm sorry that you really picked a very good looking man. I'm sorry. That's your fault. And he did too. You know, he found it this beautiful, you know, this beautiful girl that it's a great mature woman. And I mean, I'm honored to say that this is the daughter that I raised in a way, you know, so. You guys are good. You guys are good.
Yeah, we're good. And so, I said the whole story there, but I'm glad you're here with me and we're talking about this. And I love that our relationship is so open like this, because I don't think many people have this. And I think it's super special. And you have it with all your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I do remember though, when I was young, like, you know, in your age, you know, and married. And I remember my aunt who used to come from Mexico, she used to say, you know why I'm here? Because she was married like 40 years, 40. And she used to say, oh, no. You know what? I'm never going to leave my husband. I'm never going to leave the maid, everything that I went through and I had to put up with. No. I am now traveling.
She's saying, I'm not going to leave the maid. I'm not going to leave the maid, basically, everything that I worked, I had to work for.
She put up with the infidelities and the good and the bad and this and that. Now that he was
like a notorious cheater, though.
Right. Yes. Yeah. That's what she said. And I was in my marriage because of my children. And she was there for 40 or more years. And now she says, now that he's getting older, you think that, and he's still cheating. And you think that I'm going to leave him? Heck no. And he was a millionaire. And she said, no, honey, I'm going to travel. I'm going to go to Vegas. I'm going to date in the United States. And we kept saying, Tia, are you sure? Tia means aunt. Are you sure you're doing the right thing? She goes, trust me. You will learn one day. Sometimes you stay there because of the love to your children, your grandchildren, and I'm never going to break up this marriage that I built with so, you know, with so much love and of course, a lot of, you know, issues in their marriages, in their marriage.
That's funny. But anyway. I also said that in my podcast. I'm like, I don't think that I could be in a relationship, like a loveless relationship just for the sake of my children. Like I couldn't live that way. Like I could never do, I mean, wait, but if you're like, if they're millionaires, I mean, do you do it for the lifestyle? No, I don't think I can. I feel like for me, the love means more than the money. Unless like, what do you, I mean, you got a divorce, I but
think,
you guys.
I think everyone is in a different position. My aunt, I mean, she barely went to elementary school. They became millionaires because of something that he invented, and then, right. But she never knew how to work,
right?
At all. I'm talking my aunt. So the only so for her, thing it was that
almost she like was a safety net. Yeah.
Yes. The mm-hmm. only thing that she was good at was cooking, and pleasing her husband whenever he said, "Here, right. I need something." Right. And then eventually the grandchildren. So for her, there was that was her life.
Right.
See, but now you're in a different position in 2023. We're talking about exactly. different kind of, you know, women personality. In those years, even in Mexico still, there's a lot of that women would probably stay in their marriages forever.
Versus and they're the just United submissive. States. Right, exactly. It's just, it's like this power exactly. dynamic. It's this, you know, it's this sort of traditional, like the man works, the woman stays home and cleans and raises her children and does all of the domestic, you know, things, and they have to deal with whatever the husband does. And it's yeah. so, it's like they're, anarchy.
And I think that's why there's some comedians that say that, you know, like, you know, Mexican women usually say, oh, he didn't beat me this month. That means because he doesn't love me. He doesn't love right. me anymore.
Right, right. So if they and now, by the up, way, you told Riley that joke, and now he's really just, he always uses that joke. I'm like, you're so stupid. Oh, my God. And by the way, anymore. Not to make, you know, domestic abuse, a joke of domestic abuse. No, no. You know, we're just kidding. But
are you kidding me? No,
but,
no.
But, you know, it's so. Yeah.
That's something
yeah.
that can never be accepted. I come from a family, you know, that. My mother was physically abused, and it traumatizes the kids, you know, for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. You guys all were, I mean, since you were a little girl, right? That's all you sort of saw in a relationship.
Yeah, and that's what they say. When it's domestic violence, doesn't necessarily mean that you are the one being beaten up like a child. No, you can be tremendously traumatized when you see your father, for example, hitting your mother, you know, yeah. the domestic violence is still there. It doesn't matter what color you put it in.
Right. It's
still there. And that's why, you know, here, at least we're more outspoken in, right. even though Mexico, you know, they're starting already to, you know, fight back. But, that's an incredible subject that, it touches a lot of people.
Why do you think your mom didn't leave the situation?
My mom was always like 10 years younger than my father. Mm-hmm. And again, she only went to maybe fifth grade. She had polio, and she was, you know, struggling to just stay alive with four little girls. Mm-hmm. A beautiful woman, physically beautiful. But I think that's why he was always jealous of my mom, that he saw that he had a beautiful woman at home. And that every friend that he invited always told my father, oh, the day that you don't want her, let me know because she's beautiful. And he would grab a brick and break it in his head. And I think at one point many years ago, he probably put someone in heaven because he was very jealous. Someone? I think they said that he might have I'm talking in the 1950s, you know, when he was very young. My father was born in 1926, but he was so jealous. You have no idea. My mom was born in 1936. Mm-hmm. And then when my mom remembers talking to my father when he, you know, when he kidnapped her and took her to a
yes,
you know,
everyone
little town.
Knows that story. Yep.
Yeah, my mom when she arrived there, they told them my grandfather said, "Amando, you need to leave. because you know that they're looking for you. And my mom was like, what the heck? That's because then he told her, I need to leave. I'm going to leave you here with my parents, but I have to go because I killed someone with a brick that apparently he was fighting for another woman. Not my mom. Another woman.
No. Okay.
Remember? Remember he used to take all these young girls to his yes, house?
Yes. Because
that's
it didn't.
That's why he got beaten up.
Right. He got beaten up because they were like, you brought home another one?
He got beaten up by his own parents. Like, really? Another one? Boom. Like, another one? Boom. Right. Right. So then when my mom is like, he kidnapped me. I'm here. I don't even know where I am. And that's when she was the best tortilla maker because that's all she did to survive. She had to, you know, there was a huge family over there. So my mom was just like the tortilla maker and a beautiful singer. A beautiful singer that came from a beautiful family of singers, but my father was a great singer too. So that's what here
and
we
have.
And
that's sort of like singers. Their love affair, right? They would get drunk together, they would sing together, and that was like a very passionate, toxic relationship.
Very, very. Because that's why they attracted a lot of people because of their duet. You know, they were singing always together. So all these parties, they were all these men and women and you know, they were just a, you know, a very accepted couple because of their singing.
Right.
And until they got home, that's when he started saying, I saw you. I saw how he looked at you, and he gave you money, and he put it in your bra. And we were very little by listening to the conversations. And then here he goes, give me, you know, let me see your bra. Let me see your bra. And he would grab her bra and open her bra and say, you know, where's the money? I know. Boom, boom. I know he gave you the money. And then that's when he started getting very aggressive until we got out of the room, our little bedroom that we had. We opened the doors. He would send us back to the bedroom. And that's when we went out and grabbed them by the hair. And the four little girls grabbing my father by the hair and beating him up to get, you know, get off my mom's, he was on top of my mom.
Yeah.
Always trying to, you know, kill her or whatever. It was very, traumatic times. So we used to
by the time you guys like actually had like almost like the balls to go and grab your dad, was that all the time? Or was that like, finally, like you four were like, let's go stop dad?
At the beginning, you know, that I remember, you know, being so little, he, you know, this happened all the time, but there were times when he would put the. Since I remember him beating my mom,
yeah,
I
since like
two, birth. Three,
yeah,
3 years old, that I remember. I even remember the little homes that we lived and everything that happened to us, and what he used to do, he used to grab the belt, put it right on the table. Just so that we all could see, don't get involved. And that's where he would put the con un broche, ¿cómo se dice? Con un broche grandote.
Like a big buckle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like this is the belt. So what happens is like as soon as he started fighting and this whole thing started, we used to come out and he would grab the belt and hit us on the bottom of our legs. So just to go back into our bedroom. But at one point, then when we kept my mom screaming more and more, we didn't care if he would beat us. We would still go out there. This one time, that's when we barely caught him choking her. And my mom was already purple. And so we grabbed him and we just, let's say, this is enough. And we started beating him. So there was just a very traumatic, you know, traumatizing.
It really
tell your
is.
Guy to please. Very ugly.
It is, but I think it's important that we have these conversations because then you start to think like it's awful what he did, right? But then I guess my brain goes like, what did he go through to make him like that, right? Like, what was his story?
Later, as we grew older, and we, you know, because we stopped talking to my father, obviously, you know, when my mom separated officially. But then we learned from the family, his family side, which they were very educated people, that he was the oldest of nine, that he was the one carrying all the clothes to go to the river to wash clothes. And my grandfather would beat him up tremendously. and my grandmother would beat him up, and he took all the beating, and so he saw a lot of
abuse,
violence, abuse, and and then the fact that he was Jewish, and his mother was Catholic, and he saw a lot of beating.
From his father. So his dad was Jewish and his mom was Catholic?
Claro.
My
abuelita Conchita was always Catholic. Yes. My grandfather married a Catholic.
And then he ended up marrying your mom, who was Catholic.
And then my mom was Catholic. But by the time my mom got to that little town, that's when my father told my mom that a white dress was waiting for her to get to marry her.
Right.
And then my grandma knew that he was lying. There's no such dress here, and it is, you know, it is what it is. So, but my father used to see that my grandma could never ever, you know, speak or say or do anything with regards to the Catholic religion to her children. All of them were supposed to go with the Jewish religion since they were very little. So then it was our turn. Then was our turn, you know, to be in a marriage with my mom Catholic, my father Jewish. So those were the fights again, where we were not allowed to eat, you know, like tacos with sour cream. And he would put the belt again in front of us, like, I'm looking at you guys, because we used to go to my mom's family side, and they hated him because they knew that he was such a, you know, the strict father with religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we used to say, okay. So we used to go to the kitchen, and my mom would say, open your mouth. And then we used to just grab the taco or do whatever we had to do.
Because you can't mix dairy with meat.
You cannot mix dairy. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You guys, I'm so excited because finally there's a solution to organizing your fast-paced on-the-go lifestyle with Base. Because gone are the days of having to sacrifice style for function. You're able to keep track of all your things and your little one's things while also looking effortlessly chic everywhere you go. Base makes the ultimate non-diaper diaper bag to serve every busy mom's needs while catering to aesthetic dreams. Base diaper bags come complete with every essential needed for busy days, diaper changes included. Each bag was designed with a changing pad and specific pockets for your diapers and wipes, even like an odor-proof pouch, which, you know, and I you've all been there. You throw the diaper in there, a used diaper, and you find it 2 days later, and it's just stunk up your entire bag. Yep, not anymore. This is a diaper bag that just does more, and they have insulated bottle holders, a trolley pass-through for your travel, and a teething ring that keeps the little one occupied while, you know, you're changing them with that built-in changing pad. And in each Base diaper bag comes with a specific pacifier pocket that's easy to sort of reach in before the panic and the meltdowns happen. It's just the ultimate lifesaver for any busy mom on the go. And did I mention that it's gorgeous and beautiful and so chic? I'm obsessed with it. I literally take it to the gym, not even with Piper's things in it. It's like all of my stuff. I put one with like my green juice in it and then one with my regular water in it to keep it cold. It just has every little department that I can like organize, like my Pilates socks, and then my, like, I use it for me. I took it to Vegas with me. That was like my travel bag. I'm telling you, this bag is perfection. So right now, Base is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/humble. So go to basetravel.com/humble for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/humble. I promise you, you're going to fall in love with this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And it's, isn't it crazy that when I was talking to the medium, your dad comes out and then his mom, Conchita, comes out in my reading.
Right. Right.
And that, you know, he was saying just how he is doing everything now in this, you know, in the other life to sort of repent and basically for everything he did here. Which
and now
is
let
so
me tell you,
crazy.
It's crazy because my father, as he was on the phone dying at the hospital, and we were, you know, connecting, you know, via cell phone, and we could
because
hear
he
him
got
struggling.
COVID. So it was like mid COVID.
He got COVID.
Yeah.
He was
and
one
so
of actually,
no one.
Yeah, in April. COVID started in March, and he got it in April. And he was 92, very healthy individual. And he went to see other older people to go sing for them because he was very, always very, very, very
charismatic.
Fun. And
yeah.
Charismatic. And so when he ended up at the hospital and we were able to connect with him, we were told that they put him in a position where he was pretty much crucified when he was totally against Christ, Jesus Christ. And then now he ended up pretty much because he was breaking everything in the room. He was breaking everything. And the nurses were telling us, we have to
restrain
tie your father.
Him. Yeah.
Restrain him. So, and then when my doctor, my friend, a friend of mine that I know, he was there visiting my father because we couldn't go. He told me, Connie, they have him as Jesus Christ. And my father would have known that he died like that when he was always against Christ and always making our life miserable. Every time we went to a church, he would not allow us to go in there for marriages or quinceañeras or weddings or baptisms. We were never able to go. And we walked with my father. We were the only black sheep there. Four little girls walking behind my father, and he was pinching all the saints with his nail and saying, see, all these stupid people worshiping chalk. This is chalk.
Chalk.
Yeah. Chalk.
Yeah, yeah, chalk.
And so we were like, okay. And so his fingers was white of all the saints that he was pinching and pinching and pinching. So by the time, you know, he goes, okay, now you know these people are stupid. So then we walk outside the church. Everybody came out. We all went to the party. And again, you better not eat this, and you better not eat that, and you better not eat pork, and you better not this, and da 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 da. And so yes, Dad, si papa, yes papa, you know. So it was that was our upbringing. But at the same time, then he started drinking, and then the music began, and everyone
right.
knew that they wanted to get my father drunk. Because that was the only way that my father would change.
Or like have fun.
They baptized. Uh-huh. They baptized my all of us. They baptized us in the Catholic Church when he was absolutely intoxicated.
No.
And when he found out later, he wanted to beat up my mom. He wanted to beat up my uncles from all the family. He was like going crazy. When his father, my grandfather, found out that my father got drunk and my mom baptized all of us.
Oh, my God.
Father,
it was like.
It was hell. So
I can't believe they got him drunk just to baptize you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And the day
and they
that
just,
we
all
went
four
back
of
to
you,
Mexico,
all four of you? They just did it
no,
all
no,
four
no.
of you?
Every time, everyone, there are kids that were baptized when they were like maybe 3 years old. Like,
no, I'm saying, did you all four get baptized the same day when he, like that one, it was
no.
all four at one time? Oh.
No. As you were growing, as you were born, some of them, one of us were baptized when we were very, very young by months. Some of them were like baptized when they
no,
were like,
I know.
Years
I guess
old.
What I'm saying, like, did they have to get him drunk multiple times? Like every time they wanted to baptize one of you, they had to get him drunk.
Correct.
And so he fell for it every time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What
drinking.
An idiot. Right.
He loved drinking. He loved drinking,
oh,
and then he knew that there was going to be a party after that, so he was going to go sing. So, but then, I mean, and when we did our first communion, it was when he wasn't there. He was still in the United States, and we went to Mexico. We were like 14, 15, and we looked so old that we looked like we were going to get married because we were so old. So when we got to the church, people said, oh my God, four women are getting married at the same time. And my aunt goes, no, they're here for their first communion.
Is that when you guys wore the pajamas or no?
No, that was for our quinceañeras.
Oh, your quinceañera.
We all wanted a quinceañera, and with my father, there was no way that could ever happen, because quinceañeras are only for like people in the religion, you know, Catholics, Christians, maybe. But no, Jewish people,
bar mitzvahs. Bat mitzvahs.
Bar is for boys. Bat is for women. Yeah, that mitzvahs. And, you know, we never did that. And he did take us to learn Hebrew when we were little. Uh-huh. He took us to synagogues where, I don't know, some of them accepted us, but a lot of them didn't accept us because my father was a Jewish, not my mom. And even when we came to the United States, over here, we had to struggle because they would not accept us in the synagogues, you know?
Because your mom wasn't Jewish, right? Because the mother has to be Jewish. Because my mom wasn't Jewish.
Correct.
Did you guys, even like kids, were you guys more inclined to the Jewish religion or Catholicism, or were you almost like turned off by the Jewish religion because your father was just so intense about it?
Exactly, and we always kept asking if the Jewish religion allows him to do that and to beat my mom and to beat us up and whatever.
Right.
Then how we didn't care for that religion, so we had to hide at night. So when they asked me, what religion were you when you were little? I say, well, from 8 in the morning until 6 in the afternoon, we were Jewish. And then from 12 until midnight the next morning, we were Catholic. Because that's when my father used to come. We used to pray with the Bible, you know. And my mom would bring Jesus Christ and the virgins at night, hiding everything under the tables and under the mattresses. My mom had to hide everything so that he wouldn't see us. So I have enough for a movie.
I know. Trust me.
I'm speaking to someone about that.
Because it really, I mean, imagine this documentary, a movie like of these four little girls just going through this insane upbringing, and then on top of that, I mean, you know, like what you guys are doing now, especially what you're doing now, you know, and with like the Dreamers and everything, it's just such a beautiful, it's like such a full circle that like now you're helping, you know, people come into this country, and it's just all of it is, I feel like it's just such a perfect story.
Well, I think that one thing that I have to say is that I was watching a very well spoken woman about, I think she's a journalist, and she was saying my father died and I didn't go see him. I didn't. Mm-hmm. My father died without me speaking to my father, and but now that as I'm practicing, she says, as I'm practicing my job and my life and everything that I'm doing, I'm practicing what my father taught us, what my father taught me. Now I wish I would know now. I would have known then what I know now, so that I could you know have said, thank you, Father, for everything. Because she says that every time she's doing something, she's like, my father and my father. Mm. And that's when I'm thinking now the same thing. There are so many things that my father taught, you know, besides, you know, his ignorance or whatever, you know, because he didn't go to university or anything like that. But I think that his philosophy and the one that he always preached to us as we were growing up, I think it was very powerful. To the point where you never say I can't. And then, you know, when he used to talk about how to, when you're walking anywhere, you always turn back. You always turn around. And I think this is what saved my life when I was in downtown LA, that, you know, it was 11 o'clock at night. I remember my father said, turn back. I turned around and there was a man coming behind me. And I had to run to my car. He got to the car. I was able to close the door and I escaped. And I was like, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, Father, thank you. For the first time I could say, you saved my life, Father.
Yeah.
Because I turned around. That's exactly thinking. And the man saw that I saw his face. And we both started running, but I was closer to my car. And I get, boom, I closed the door. He put cones in front of my car. And I took the cones and I escaped. And I mean, luckily, I don't know.
He put cones in front of your car?
He ran to put cones in front of my parking lot. And I took the cones. I ran. And I'm here to talk about it. Yeah.
Holy crap. It's funny. I do think that you teaching us, it's a lot of what your dad taught you. Like you always say, mi papá siempre me dijo, like my dad always told me. And a lot of those teachings that you have taught us are from, we call them like, even things we call amandazo. Your father was named Amando. And so we even have like...
Yeah. A verb. You made a verb.
Yeah. A verb saying, una mandazo. Yeah. And
but now,
like that.
My mother, my mother also, she taught us something that I even wrote a song about it. So I have to give my mom some credit. And the credit that I've given my mom is like, because she said that if you ever have an abusive man, don't even think about it. Leave him. And just go and get another one, if not that one, another one, and another one, another one. And so the song is called another one, and another one.
It's like DJ Khaled, another one.
Otro, otro, y otro.
Yeah, which Hurst, I mean, look, we could be here for hours talking about your parents, because I feel like she also has an insane story of just like the way that she would knit all four of your guys' little dresses and like, just everything that she has taught you too. I mean, they both equally have.
Just listening to my mom's story as to what she had to go through so that we could be a happy four little girls, where we had no Santa Claus, we had no three kings, we had no birthdays, we had pretty much nothing. And she had to pretend to be, you know, the Santa Claus that we... Obviously, we knew that she was sewing the dresses for these little dolls. She was doing everything, but we saw her doing it. So we knew that that wasn't Santa Claus, Mom. And we used to write our little letters. And you know, it's just this fantasy world that she made us believe. I don't know if you watched that movie, Life is Beautiful. And the same thing with my mom. Mm-hmm. My mom was always pretending to be or do something for us so that we wouldn't suffer, because her family
or stop believing. Yeah.
Yeah. Her family was millionaires, Natalie. They had Christmas trees. They had gifts and buildings and you name it. So when we were there, we saw all our cousins with tons of presents. So we said, wait a minute, why is Santa Claus so mean? Why do they have all these presents and he didn't come to our house? And the same thing with the three kings, and it was just very sad, you know, where we were seeing that it wasn't equal. Like Santa Claus was mean.
right.
And so we used to wait for the moon to light us, because our rooms were, you know, turned off. The light was turned off. So we used to wait for the moon to light us so that we could write our little letters, and we put them on there in our shoe. And they were still there the next morning. I'm like, we used to cry.
Oh, that is so sad.
So sad.
But then don't you feel like a part of you, like you are who you are, obviously, because of what you've gone through? Like it almost reminds you to like stay humble, work hard. Like what did your dad say in Spanish? But it was like, la educación de, what is it? La universidad.
Oh, necessity taught me more than the university. That's what he said every time. Necessity taught me more than university. And so that's what he kept saying. You know, just keep moving forward. Don't look back. Keep learning. And for him, education was like, wow. That's why we suffered so much when I couldn't go to school, to the college here in the United States, because of my legal status. And that's why I think we are where we are with my project of my Call Me a Dreamer project, which I'm very proud of. And good things will come. I'm very proud, Natalie.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why I spoiled you guys when you guys were little. I gave you everything that I didn't have. We used to have the biggest Santa Claus and the biggest Christmas trees and the biggest everything so that you guys could have a fantasy childhood, you know?
Crazy that is? But like that's I think why it's so important to ask your parents these questions of like and really understand like where it all sort of stems from. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just so fascinating. And then it's like, you know, the way I'm going to be with Piper, you know, does that have anything to do with how I was raised? And then how, you know what I mean? Like, it's just absolutely. All so, yeah.
Absolutely. One thing we all need to know is that we never give up. We keep moving forward and then never turn back. Because if you keep looking
well,
back,
you should turn back only to see if someone's behind you.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't turn back in a certain way, but always in look back. Way. Don't turn back, yeah, but look
exactly.
back.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. The story behind you that traumatized you, just leave it alone. Leave it alone.
Right.
You're wasting time thinking of what you went through. This time is just like keep moving forward. And I think that's what I am applying in my life. Because it keeps me healthy, mm-hmm. healthy minded, and healthy physically, and yeah. hopefully financially.
Hopefully. I know. I'm so proud of you. You're so strong, and I feel like you are exactly what I know my sisters and I like strive to be as far as just being positive. You know, you always say just laugh. Like I just know. I mean. I can't even think about the day that like we don't have you, which I feel like is just like the scariest moment ever. But I feel like, you know, not to diss my dad at all, but I think I'm going to always have like that. My mom used to say, I'm going to have so many like life lessons
right.
from what you've, you know, taught us and instilled in us. And, right. you know, at some point, you know, we almost have to thank the, you know, grandpa and we have to thank everyone that put that in you, because if not, you know, we wouldn't have those little
gems. Because
let me
tell you, and the fact that my mom taught us how to eat and how to survive with barely any money, that you make bread from this and you make a meal from nothing, and just the fact that she taught us all that, I think it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you're a little frozen. But anyway,
it is.
All of that.
No, it is beautiful.
I mean, my mom was to me, I mean, mi adoración, you know, and yeah. I learned so much from her. And now I wish I would have learned even more from my mom, even though we did ask thousands of questions. But I think I should have maybe understood her a little bit deeper. But as right. we are growing, we're so busy, you know, raising our children that we sometimes underestimate our parents' feelings. So that's why I appreciate that you have me in your podcast, Natalie. And I hope this stays with you guys forever.
it will. And again, I really suggest that, you know, if you still have your parents around or even aunts and uncles, because they also have, you know, their own stories, about your parents and all that. But I feel like, or if you have your grandparents around, just set up a camera, set up a phone and record them. Ask all the questions. I mean, it's just such a beautiful thing to be able to have and to pass on to your kids as well.
Absolutely.
But I will say before your dad left, this earth, you were very hesitant on speaking with him. And I remember all of us sort of told you, you know, you got to take the little good that he did give you and remember that he, you know, had his own past and his own traumas and you won't regret saying goodbye to him. And you did, and you got on the phone and you spoke to him and you said, you know, thank you for the good, thank you for the bad. And I feel like it was also very therapeutic for you.
And it was a terrible time that we couldn't actually do anything with regards to seeing him in person because of COVID, you know? So mm-hmm. COVID is... someone that I say, well, because of you that I couldn't see, you know, my father, at least to say the last goodbye. But it is what it is. You know, we all have to deal with something, and we will always forever remember COVID. I think that's already going to be in every child, you know, even Piper.
Man, I know.
Yeah. She came to my house and she kept asking me for the mask. I want to wear a little mask. Yeah. Because she was, and then we were in the bathroom and we were washing our teeth and everything. And then she asked me, "What is this for?" And it was a cream for our wrinkles. And she said, "What is this for?" And I said, "That's for your wrinkles." She said, "What's wrinkles?" I said, "Well, this," and I smiled. I show her my wrinkles. And then she goes, "Oh," I said, "But if you put some, you know, maybe that they will disappear." And I said, But she goes like, why? And I said, because I'm getting old. And then she said, why did you, because she knows that my mom died because she was old. Because she asked me, why did your mom die?
Yeah.
She sees a picture here.
Yeah.
And I said, because she was getting old. And she goes, are you going to die? Because she's so, yeah, I'm getting, you're getting old. Are you going to die? I said, yeah, but one day. But when I die, it's, you know, it's a beautiful place over there. And I didn't want to say, she goes, oh, I can die too. Because it's a beautiful place. I said, no, no, you're
oh,
not.
Oh, no.
It's a beautiful place. So when she sees me that, you know, it's yesterday she came and she goes, oh, like you have wrinkles like up here. So she went right into the bathroom to get that, to get those little drops.
The cream.
So that they can disappear so that I don't die. So that I don't
so
die.
So that you don't die.
Oh, my little girl.
I love her so much. Yeah, I know, but now she's obsessed with it because now she's like, mommy, are you old? Mommy, I'm getting old. Like everything for her now is like, we're all getting old. So,
I mean, when she wants to know what my mom died of, I'm not going to tell her the story, the real story about why my mom died.
And then Jackie has that photo in her house and doesn't she go and kiss her every time?
Yes. Yes. I have a video. Every time she walks in here, she kisses my mom. And because I told her, look how beautiful she is. She's a beautiful lady. And she goes, she's your mom? And she's not here? No, my love, she's not here. Why? She's so sad that she wishes I could have a mom.
Oh, anyway, my God, my heart. Anyway,
and so I learned that, you know, that songwriting and music came pretty much from my father and I know we have, you know, limited time here. But I mean, I'm writing a new song based on my age, based on my story that, you know, you get to a point in your life when you need to, you know, just move and move forward. And it, regardless of the things that you used to do, which is helping, my life was helping. I just remember feeding people, helping people. And even though I mean, it's not that I don't want to continue doing it, but now I need to think of something that I want to move with my bucket list. And I haven't done a lot of things in my bucket list that I want to accomplish. So I was talking to one of my producers and I said, would you help me finish this song? And he goes, sing it to me. And I'm talking a producer that has worked, he's not working with Michael Bublé, Celine Dion. And I'm talking not just anyone.
He's a big time guy.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And he goes, tell me, sing it to me. And I said, well, it's just a song that says, move, move, get out of my way. Because I'm in a hurry. And then it says, and he talks about my bucket list. He talks about the things that I haven't done. And then, but I think that once you put it together, and now this morning, I woke up, you know, and then in that song, I'm adding the golden age, because somehow it just fit perfectly in the song. So can you tell me how do you describe golden age, Natalie?
How do I describe it, or what is like the definition of it?
Yeah, what's the definition in your words? What or your mind, or how would you express that means?
When I hear about like the golden age, I think of like the best time of your life. Like it's when you are at your prime, at your peak. But for me, your golden age isn't like a specific time. And then I had to look it up because you had asked me before. And I didn't know that it says your golden age begins between 65 until about 80 and beyond. So it's like, well, after 65.
When you Google the golden age, I mean, this has so many definitions because it comes from, I don't even know how many. So, I mean, golden age was for the prince of that and da-da-da, and you name it. I mean, we can go here and stay here forever.
Yes.
But I think that there's one that has to do with the golden age of age, like with meaning how old you are. So when you turn 65 and plus, and that's when apparently, you know, you should fulfill everything that you dream of. And I think that if you read it, maybe, I don't know, dile a este chico que te haga leerlo para terminar el show.
No, so it says here, it says, generally speaking, the golden years begin at age 65 and last until 80 and beyond. However, some experts question whether golden years still belong in our vocabulary because the time span and definition of retirement has changed over the past half century. Older Americans live longer now than they did back in 1960. So I think that, you know, the original definition of your golden, you know, the golden years is because, you know, you have now fully retired. You can now, you know, you don't have to work anymore or stress anymore. You can now live your best life. And I think that now people are living their best life even before 65.
Correct.
Right? So, yeah, I mean, I guess,
but,
you know,
but it's true, though. People are retiring a little later now. People are working, like they're active, you know, at the age of, you know, 65, 70 years old. They're still working.
Yes.
Right. So
right.
That's where we are at right now. I know that a lot of people probably will wonder where we are at with another my other project. I'll keep you posted, Natalie. I think there's a lot going on with my Call Me a Dreamer.
I know.
Dream. My dream.
And you know, it's funny. I feel like in the entertainment industry, you know, people are working on albums for years before they come out, right? It takes a lifetime. And so, you know, that's why sometimes you don't want to ever talk about things too prematurely, because then you're like, well, when is it going to come out? When is it going to come out? So it's like, you know, but just know that, you know, some of these projects take forever until it's the, you know, the right time and everything has to align and everything, but you're still doing it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And it's going to, you're going to make a huge difference, and I love you, and I'm honored to be your child. Thank you for just coming on and sharing your stories and sharing your wisdom with all of us and being so open. So,
well, I want to thank you, my love. And I just want to let you know that, you make me very, very, very proud, and your sisters as well, if they're listening, your brother, I know, you know, but if they one day listen to all, they'll get to an age one day that where they have nothing to do but listen to your shows, Natalie.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Exactly. Yeah. But, in their golden age.
Exactly. In their golden age. I love you, my love. Say hi to, you know, your other half, which is Riley. I love her. If he's listening, he knows that I love him very much.
He's also not listening. Don't worry.
Okay, great.
All right. I love you.
Just in case. Mwah. I love everybody. Los quiero.
Okay.
Thank you to your beautiful audience. Bye. Adios. Mwah. Besos.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode with my beautiful mother. She always comes on and talks. I mean, you guys love her, but imagine like being with her and getting to spend time with her every single day. It's truly a gift. And I just adore her. So thank you all so much for listening. Please make sure to go subscribe, rate, review. Just go give it a quick little 5-star down in the wherever it is that you listen. And thank you so much for your support. Love you all very, very much. And I will see you next week. Remember, stay humble and stay hungry.